I stopped, looked up. She was wrong. Off. Dark. Beautiful with red hair and pale skin, and a shark's smile on her face, all bite and teeth. She wore a pretty summer dress, blues and greens. She was barefoot, and I wondered if her feet burned on the cement from the sun. "Hello," I said. There didn't seem to be anyone else on the sidewalk. She took a step toward me. She cocked her head to the side, and I thought, wrong, 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 wrong. "My name is Marie," she said. "What's yours?" "Ox." "Ox," she breathed. "I do like that name." She was close enough to touch, and I didn't know how that had happened. "Thank you," I said. "That's very nice of you." She closed her eyes and inhaled deeply. "You smell like." She opened her eyes. They flashed violet, like an omega. "Human. Tell me, human. You play with wolves." She took another step toward me. I took an answering step back. In my head, Thomas was telling me to remember my training, to remember what he taught me. I didn't think it was really him, but I couldn't be sure. I knew Gordo had wards up all over town, so surely he would have known if another wolf had breached them. "You should leave," I told her, "before." "Before?" "You know why." "Ox, what's going on?" "Shit," I muttered. I looked over Marie's shoulder. Mom was hanging out the diner's door, watching me with concern on her face. "Go back inside," I told her, as Marie looked back at her and wiggled her fingers in an obscene wave. Her fingernails were painted blue. "She smells like you," Marie said to me. "Did you know that? Like you and wood smoke and autumn leaves. And I know what she smells like now. Scent memory, Ox. It never leaves." "Ox," Mom said. "Inside," I snapped at her. She went inside. I knew she'd be reaching for the phone. Marie laughed. "Little human has some bite to him. Did the wolves teach you that?" "This is the territory of the Bennett Pack," I told her. "You don't belong here." "Bennett," she said. "Bennett. Like that name means anything anymore. Let me tell you about the Bennetts." "The fuck is this?" Gordo was at my side. His face was twisted in anger. His arms were covered by his work shirt, but I knew the tattoos on his skin were starting to shift. Marie hissed. "Witch." "Wolf," he snarled back. "You got balls, lady, showing your face here. Thomas Bennett is on his way. What do you think he'll do when he sees you?" A flicker of fear crossed her face before it disappeared. She smiled again, more fangs than not. "The fallen king, coming out of hiding. Oh, glory be." "It's not hiding when you're in your own territory," I said. "With humans in his pack," she said. "Low, even for him. Belly dragging across the dirt." My hands curled into fists. Marie grinned at me. "Aren't you just precious? I could gut you know, right here, before you could move. Your alpha has been hidden away long enough. He's weaker now. Even I can feel it. I could take you, and he could do nothing." "Try," I said, and Gordo tensed. But she didn't. She took a step back, looked over her shoulder, before turning back. She smiled a little and said, "Say hi to your mom for me, Ox." And then she was off, down the street, until she disappeared. They came 2 nights later. They were feral. Four of them. Not a pack, as they had no alpha, but somehow still working together. They'd made a mistake, though, by showing themselves. Or at least by Marie showing herself. Thomas made Mom and me stay at the Bennett house in those days that followed Marie cornering me. I told him Gordo needed to be there, too. Thomas didn't argue. Gordo did. I told him to shut the fuck up. I might have sounded slightly hysterical. Mom went to work during the day. Carter and Kelly went with her. Gordo and I went to work. He didn't let me out of his sight, even when we had to take a longer than normal lunch break so he could strengthen his wards. Joe stayed home from school. I brought his homework, and he took it from me with steady hands. Thomas and Mark holed themselves up in Thomas's office, whispering angrily into a phone, speaking to people I'd never heard of. Elizabeth kept us calm, hands casually in our hair as she walked by. On the second night, we sat down to dinner. Conversation was quiet. Silverware scraped against clay plates. Then Gordo took in a sharp breath and sighed. "They're coming," he said. Alpha and Beta eyes shone around us. We knew the plan. We'd trained for this. I thought my hands would shake as I picked up a crowbar infused with silver, a gift from Gordo. They did not shake. Thomas and Mark, Carter and Gordo, out on the porch. The rest of us stayed inside, Elizabeth and I in front, Kelly with Joe and my mother. I saw them approach in the dark. Their violet eyes shone among the trees. Thomas said, "This is Bennett territory. I will give you a chance to leave. I suggest you take it." They laughed. A man said, "Thomas Bennett, as I live and breathe." Another man said, "And a witch no less. Smells like Livingstone. Was that your father?" Gordo Livingstone. His father, who'd lost his tether and hurt a great many people. But Gordo didn't reply. It wasn't his place. The Alpha spoke for them all, even if Gordo wasn't Pack. Thomas said, "One chance." The third man said, "The children will suffer, especially little Joseph. I don't think it'll take much to break him." There was a nasty smile on his face, and I would have murdered him where he stood without a second thought if Elizabeth hadn't tightened her hold on my arm. Thomas said, "You shouldn't have said that." And Marie said, "You talk too much." And then there were claws and fangs and desperate snarls. The wolves half-shifted and tore into each other. Thomas's eyes were fire red, and he seemed bigger than the others. So much bigger. I wondered why the Omegas thought they ever stood a chance. Gordo went after the first man. His tattoos shone and shifted, and I could smell the ozone around him. Lightning struck and crackling. The earth shifted beneath the Omega's feet, a sharp column of rock shooting up and knocking him into an old oak tree. Carter took the second man, and they were all teeth and tearing skin. Carter roared angrily as the Omega sliced sharp lines down his back, and Kelly gave an answering snarl behind me, taking a step toward his brother before Joe grabbed his hand, eyes wide and frantic. Mark raised the third man over his head and brought him down over his knee, and the crack of the Omega's back was sharp and wet. The Omega fell to the ground. His arms and legs skittered and seized. Thomas took on Marie. Her red hair flew around her wolfed-out face. His red eyes tracked her every movement. He was grace. She was violence. Their claws hit and caused sparks to flare in the dark. He moved like liquid and smoke. She was staccato. She had already lost, but didn't know it yet. She would. Soon. But we didn't know there was a fifth. Maybe the wolves should have known. Maybe they should have been able to sense him. Maybe the breaching of the wards should have tipped Gordo off. But there was blood and distraction, magic and breaking bone. Our family was fighting, and they might have been winning, but not without taking hits. Senses were overloaded. Hackles were raised. My mother was at the rear of us. She said, "Ox." So I turned. And Omega had her. He held her against him, her back to his front. His arm circled around her, elbow against her breasts, hand and claws around her throat. I said, "No." The Omega said, call them off. I said, "You'll regret this every day for the rest of your miserably short life." He said, "I will kill her right now." I said, "You will regret this." The big bad wolf smiled. "Human," he spat. My mom said, "Ox." And it was so soft and sweet and full of tears, and I took a step toward her. "Let her go." The Omega said, "Call them off." And Joe, 16-year-old Joe, standing off to the side, forgotten because the Omega had eyes on me, like he could sense that I had any power here, like I had any control over the pack. Either he was mistaken or thought he knew something I didn't. But Joe, before I could take another step, he was moving, legs coiled, claws out, jumped, kicked off the wall, launched himself up and over the Omega, brought his claws down into the Omega's face, eyes punctured and skin split. The Omega screamed. His hand around my mother's throat fell away. Mom wasn't stupid. She had trained. She saw what was coming. She elbowed the Omega in the stomach, brought the heel of her foot up into his balls, ducked away. Joe spun off him, dropping to the floor. I took three steps. The blind Omega growled, "There will always be more." I said, "You shouldn't have touched my mother," and swung the silver-infused crowbar like a bat. It smashed upside his head, skull cracking, blood flying. Skin burned and hair smoldered. The Omega grunted once and fell to the floor. His chest rose once, hitching, failing. Then it stopped. The sounds of fighting fell away outside of the house. I took a deep breath. I tasted copper on my tongue. Mom said, "You okay?" She touched my arm. I said, "Yeah. You?" And she said, "Yeah. Better now." I said, "Joe." And he looked at me, eyes blown out, hands at his sides dripping blood onto the floor. I didn't stop to think. I didn't care. I stepped away from my mother and pulled him close. He fisted his hands in the back of my shirt, claws tearing lightly at my skin. I didn't care, because it told me I wasn't dreaming, and we were alive. His nose was in my neck, because he was so tall now, so much bigger than the little boy I first found on the dirt road. He breathed me in, and his heart beat against my chest, the blood of the werewolf I'd killed pooling at our feet. Days later, I asked Gordo, "What else is out there?" And he said, "Whatever you can think of." As it turned out, I could think of many things. Thomas led me through the trees and told me there were many packs, though not as many as there used to be. They killed each other. Humans hunted and killed them like it was their job, like it was sport. Other monsters hunted and killed them. "This was a fluke," he said. "Others know not to come here." I didn't know who he was trying to convince, him or me. So I asked, "Why?" "Because of what the Bennett name means."
"What does it mean?"
I remembered Marie calling him a fallen king. Her body was nothing but ashes now, burned and spread across the forest.
"Respect," he said. "And the Omegas failed to understand that. They thought they could come into my territory, my home, and take from me. We spilled their blood because they didn't know their place."
"I killed him because he threatened my mom." Thomas slid his hand to the back of my neck and squeezed gently.
"You were very brave," he said quietly, "protecting what's yours. You're going to do great things, and people will stand in awe of you."
"Thomas," I said. He looked at me. "Who are you?" Because there was something more that I didn't understand. He said,
"I'm your alpha."
And I accepted that for what it was. Chapter 13. Low slung shorts, you and Joe. It was not a gradual thing. Wait, that was a lie. I didn't know it was a gradual thing. But it must have been. It had to have been. Because it's the only thing that explained the cosmic explosion that was the feeling of want and need and mine, mine, mine. The force of it was ridiculous. It had to have been there for a long time. Joe turned 17 in August. We threw a party as we always did. There was cake and presents, and he smiled at me so widely. He was 17 that September when he started his senior year in high school. Kelly was at the beginning of his MBA. Carter worked with Mark and Thomas. Elizabeth did the things that made her happy. Gordo decided to wait on opening a second shop. Mom smiled more than she used to. I worked and breathed and lived. I had blood on my hands, but it was in service of the pack. I had nightmares about dead wolves with their heads bashed in. I woke up sweating, but every time I saw my mother's smile, the guilt eased just a little bit more. Jesse kissed me one night in October. I kissed her back and then stopped. She smiled sadly at me and said she understood. I didn't tell her that I hadn't been with anybody since the night the Omegas came because I couldn't lose focus. I couldn't be distracted, and that I didn't feel that way about her anymore. So I just apologized and blushed, and she shook her head and went home. In November, Carter dated a girl named Audrey, and she was sweet and pretty and laughed hoarsely. She liked to drink and dance, and then one day she didn't come around anymore. Carter shrugged and said it wasn't meant to be, just some fun. Snow fell in December, and I ran with the wolves through the powder, a winter moon shining out overhead, my breath trailing behind me as the pack howled their songs around me. A man came to the Bennett house in January and talked for a long time with Thomas in his office. He was a tall man with shrewd eyes, and he moved like a wolf. His name was Osmond, and as he left later that night, he stopped in front of me and said, "Human, eh? Well, I guess to each their own." His eyes flashed orange, and then he left, and I seriously considered throwing my mug of tea at the back of his head. In February, a young man followed Joe home from school. Joe looked bewildered, but didn't make him leave. He was Joe's age, and his name was Frankie, and he was short and had black hair and these great big brown eyes that followed Joe everywhere. He was scared of me, and this amused Joe greatly. I walked into Joe's room in the middle of the month to see Frankie lean forward and kiss Joe on the lips. Joe froze. I froze, but only for a moment before I stepped back out of the room and quietly closed the door. I smiled quietly to myself, even as this strange, twisting little thing curled in my stomach. I walked away and hoped he was happy. That little curl in my stomach never really went away, but I learned to ignore it. It was March when he knocked on the door at 3 a.m, shouting, "Ox! Ox! Ox!" And I panicked, grabbing the crowbar, telling my mother to stay in her room. She had a dagger already pulled out, and I stopped to tell her that she looked like a badass. She rolled her eyes and told me to go see what was wrong. I opened the door, and Joe said, "Ox." He wasn't injured. There was no blood. Nothing was chasing him. He was okay. Physically. It didn't matter. I pulled him close, and his hands were in my hair, and he shuddered as he pressed against me. "What happened?" He said, "Frankie." And I wondered at the state of my head and heart when I began to plot the death of a 17-year-old boy who loved chunky peanut butter and cartoons. I told myself that if he'd hurt Joe, there wouldn't be pieces left to bury. "What did he do?" "Nothing," Joe said. "He did nothing." "Then what's wrong?" "You asshole," Joe shouted at me as he pulled away. I said, "What?" Because, what? "Look at me," he demanded. And I did, because I always did. "What do you see?"
Joe, I said, I see you. Maybe a little rumpled, maybe some bags under his eyes, maybe he was a little pale, and if he wasn't a werewolf, I'd wonder if he was getting sick. But he couldn't, so I didn't wonder at all. You don't, he cried. You fucking don't! I'd never seen him so pissed. I don't understand, I asked him, or told him. Gah! He shouted at me, eyes flaring orange and red, and then he turned and left. He apologized the next day, said he was tired. I said, sure, Joe, okay, no worries. Then he held my hand, and we walked down the dirt road like we always did. It was April when Frankie stopped coming by the house. I wanted to ask Joe about it, but I could never find the words. Kelly said they'd broken up, and I said, oh. Even though what I thought in my head was, good, good, good. It was May when everything exploded. It was the strangest thing. The days were hot and humid. The news said it was going to be the hottest summer in years. Heat wave, they said, could go on for weeks and weeks. It was almost my 23rd birthday. I figured maybe it was time for me to move out of Mom's house, but the thought of not living next to the pack caused me to sweat, so I didn't push it too hard. Mom never complained. She liked me there, and it meant I could keep her safe in case the monsters ever came again. So there, shortly before I'd been on the Earth for 23 years, I went over to the Bennetts for Sunday dinner. Elizabeth asked if I'd get some of the tomatoes out of the garden. She smiled at me and kissed me on the cheek. Joe and Carter and Kelly were coming out of the woods, finishing up their run as I came back from the garden. They were laughing and shoving each other the way brothers do. I loved all three of them. Except... Joe wore a pair of low-slung shorts, just the smallest things. And that was it. He was almost as big as I was now. We were eye level, or so close that it didn't matter, which put him a couple of inches over 6 feet. There was a sheen of sweat over his torso, a spattering of wet blonde hairs curling on his chest that looked to be cut out of granite, the soft definition of muscles on his stomach, a line of sweat that hit his happy trail and soaked into the waistband of his shorts. He turned, saying something back to Carter, and I saw the dimples above his ass, the way his legs flexed and shifted as he hopped from one foot to the other. He pointed wildly at something back in the woods, and there was a blue vein that stuck out along his bicep, and I wanted to trace with my fingers, because when had that happened? And those hands, those big fucking hands, and I... Joe had grown up, and somehow, I hadn't really seen it until it was on full display, right in front of me. He must have seen me out of the corner of his eye. He turned and grinned at me. And it was Joe. But it was Joe. So, naturally, that's when I walked into the side of the house. The tomatoes in my hands crushed against me. My head hit the wood siding, and I thought, oh shit. I stepped back from the house. Bits of tomato fell onto the grass. Damn it. I felt my face flushing as I looked back at the Bennett brothers. They all stood there, watching me with concerned expressions on their faces. What the hell? Carter asked. You know there is a house right there. It's been there pretty much forever. I said, my voice dropping lower. I couldn't even stop it. Hey, guys, what's up? Just picking tomatoes. I crossed my arms over my chest and got tomato on them. I went to lean against the house, but I was farther away than I thought, and fell into the house. What is even happening right now? Kelly said. Joe took a step toward me, and his stomach muscles were flexing, and the low bass heat of want roared through me, and I remembered werewolves could smell it, and I took a step back in absolute horror. Hey, I said, and my voice was breaking. I cleared my throat and tried again. Hey, so there's a thing that I have to look at in my house before dinner. Now they were all looking at me weird. They couldn't smell my immoral raging lust yet, or whatever it was, my feelings, that I couldn't be having. Joe took another step toward me, and he had pecs. He had a chest that was just... It was just very nice, and it gave me ideas, and I said, "Whoa there, cowboy," and I kicked myself internally for such bullshit. "What's at your house?" Joe asked, and that motherfucker started sniffing the air. "Ox," Carter said, "your heartbeat is going crazy." Stupid fucking werewolves. And Joe was standing right there, with muscles. "To change," I shouted, and all three took a step back. I lowered my voice. "I have to change my shirt." I pointed at it. "Tomatoes and houses don't mix. Ha ha ha." "I still have no idea what is happening," Kelly said. So I said, "I'll be right back," and turned the opposite way, trying to stop myself from running. "Ox?" I stopped. "Yeah, Joe. Your house is the other way." "So it is." But instead of walking past them so they could smell me, I walked the long way around the house. When I came into view again, they were standing in the same spot, watching me. I went inside and locked the door. "What happened to your shirt?" Mom asked. "Tomatoes," I said. "You look flushed," she said. "Your face is bright red." "It's hot out." "Ox, did something happen?" "No, not a single thing."
"You're breathing really heavily."
"It's a thing I do. Big guy, you know. Need big breaths."
"Yeah," Mom said. "I don't think that's a thing."
"I need to change my shirt." I refused to look her in the eye.
"You want me to wait for you?"
I shook my head. "No, no, that's... fine." I wanted her to leave so I could punch something. She waited until I stepped away from the door before pushing past me. She frowned when she tried to turn the knob.
"Did you lock this?"
I smiled. I probably looked crazy. Force of habit.
Uh-huh.
She went out and closed the door behind her. I punched the wall. It hurt like a bitch. He was only 17. That was wrong. Except he was almost 18. Which, okay. But it was Joe. And back and forth, and back and forth. My phone went off. A text message. "Joe, where are you?" I looked at the clock. I'd been sitting in front of the door for 20 minutes already. "Shit," I muttered. I couldn't not go to dinner. It was tradition, and if I begged off sick, someone, Joe, would come and check on me. So I had to go. I couldn't do anything about my heartbeat. They'd hear that regardless. I'd think of something. But the smell. I ran up the stairs and tore off my shirt, grabbing another from the drawer. I pulled it on as I went to the bathroom. I found an old bottle of cologne I never wore anymore, because the wolves didn't like it.
"It blocks you out," Joe had told me once. "Most of you, anyway."
I sprayed myself at least 6 times. I texted back, "On my way." It took me another 20 minutes to convince myself to walk back to the house at the end of the lane. Finally, I told myself to man up, because I was almost 23 fucking years old, and I'd fought monsters once, and I'd trained with wolves many times. And it was just Joe, who apparently I wanted to do stuff to, with, around. That did nothing to calm my heart rate. It felt like I was walking to my death with every step I took to cross the way to the Bennett house. I could hear them all out back, probably getting ready to eat, laughter, talking, shouting. And then the conversation just died, even before I could get around the side of the house. "Is that Ox?" I heard Mark ask. He sounded worried. There was a crash and multiple pairs of feet running. They rounded the corner and just stopped. "Where is it?" Mark demanded. "Are we under attack?" Thomas asked, ready to wolf out. His eyes went red. "Ox?" Carter asked. "Dude, seriously. Your heart, man. You sound terrified." "Hey, guys," I said. I learned early on that you shouldn't run from a wolf when they were about to shift. Sets off instincts.
I wanted to run so bad. Because Joe was standing at the front. He'd changed. White shorts, green shirt that hid nothing. He was barefoot, too. And his feet were sexy as all hell. I said, "Hey, guys. Why do I feel like this is a thing I should be getting?" Kelly said. Joe's nose wrinkled. "What's that smell?" So, of course, all the Bennett men started sniffing the air. It wasn't funny. At all. Carter took a step toward me. "Dude, Ox, what the hell? What did you bathe in?" "Nothing," I said, sounding defensive even as I took a step back. "I don't know what you're talking about." "Ox," Joe said with a frown, "are you okay?" And I couldn't even look at him when I said, "I'm fine. Everything's fine." "That was a lie," Kelly said. Joe took a step toward me. I took another step back. "Did something happen today?" Thomas asked. I wanted to say, "I may have started picturing your underage son naked, but I didn't know if that was something someone could say to an alpha werewolf." So I said, "Nothing happened. I just wanted to smell different." The Bennett men stared at me. I stared sort of over their shoulders. Joe said, "Ox." "Yeah?" I said, looking at a tree. "Hey."
"What?"
"Look at me." Jesus fucking Christ. I looked at him. Even I could see the worry on his face. His stupid, handsome face. I felt myself blush. "Maybe we should," Mark started, but then Carter said, "Oh, no way." And so I loudly said, "Carter, can I talk to you for a moment? Now, please, right now?" Carter gave me the biggest shit-eating grin, even as Joe glanced between us, eyes narrowing. "What did you do?" he asked his brother. "Absolutely nothing," Carter said, sounding rather delighted about something. "And it's amazing." "Carter," I barked, "now." Before the others could protest, Carter moved forward and gripped my arm, dragging me toward the forest. "This won't take long," he called cheerfully over his shoulder to the others.
"What won't?" I heard Joe ask.
"Oh, I'm sure you'll find out soon enough," Mark said. And oh my God, I was doomed. Since werewolves were impatient as all hell, Carter only dragged me far enough until he knew we were out of earshot before he stopped, dropped my arm, turned to look at me, and said, "You got a boner over my little brother." I had to at least try. "I have no idea what you're talking about," Carter said. "You drenched yourself in the worst smelling thing you could find, so you could cover up the smell of your boner. Stop saying boner." He waggled his eyebrows at me. I glared at him. He said, "It's about time." And so I said, "What?" He squinted at me. "You and Joe." "What about me and Joe?" "Seriously? That's what you're going with?" It was either that or have a panic attack. "Yes," I said. "That's what I'm going with." "It's okay," he said. "You're allowed to have a boner for my 17-year-old brother." I groaned, burying my face in my hands. "You're making this so much worse." He snorted. "I highly doubt that. If you think it's awkward for you, think about how I feel right now." "You keep saying boner." "Yeah," he said easily. "I'm having such a good time right now." "Carter, why are you freaking out about this? Why are you not? Is it about the whole werewolf thing?" "What? No, I don't care that he's a..." "And it's not that he's a guy. You've fucked men before. What the hell? Just going to throw that out there, are you?" "Is it that he's 17? Carter asked. "Dad won't care." "Well, he probably won't care too much." I stared at him in horror. "What are you even talking about?" "Ox," he said slowly, as if speaking to a child. "It's Joe, man. What did you think was going to happen?"
I just...
"He was wearing those shorts," and Carter grimaced. "Okay, smelling it was one thing, but hearing about it is one step too far. That's my little brother." I let out a slightly strangled noise. "Ox,
You know this was always going to happen, right? This stopped me cold.
What?
The wolf. I told you, I don't care that he's a wolf. But Carter was already shaking his head.
Not that. The stone wolf. The one he gave you for your birthday.
What about it?
Carter sighed.
Man, this isn't going to go over well. Which did nothing to make things better. I told him as much.
Look, he said. When wolves are born, their alpha gives them a wolf carved from stone. Sometimes they do it themselves, sometimes they have others do it, but each natural wolf is given one. I don't know when it started, and honestly it's some archaic bullshit, but whatever. It's tradition, and you know how Dad is with tradition. I nodded, because I did. It's a wolf's most treasured possession, Carter continued. Something to be protected and revered, or so we're taught.
Then why did he give it to me?
Carter smiled quietly at me.
Because that's what you're supposed to do with it.
I don't... When we're old enough, we're told that one day we'll find someone. Someone that feels good to our wolf. Someone that makes our heart race. Someone that completes us, tethers us, makes us human.
Goose flesh prickled along my skin. The birds sang in the trees. The leaves swayed on the branches. It felt green here, so very green.
When we find that person, Carter said, when we find that one person that makes us forget everything bad that's ever happened to us, well, that's what the wolf is for. It's a gift, Ox. A promise.
A promise of what? I croaked out.
He shrugged.
It can mean many things. Friendship, family, trust.
He closed his eyes and listened to the sound of the forest.
Or more.
More?
Love, faith, devotion.
He... Yeah, man. He did.
He was 10.
Carter opened his eyes.
And he spoke to you after not speaking for over a year.
We all knew, even then.
I felt a weird sense of betrayal at that.
Yet another thing to keep from me? I asked, unable to stop the bitterness in my voice.
Carter shook his head.
You were 16, Ox, and you didn't know about werewolves.
But when I did...
Jesse, Carter said.
And so many things clicked into place.
Holy shit, I breathed.
That's why...
That, and you were kind of a dick about it.
I glared at him.
He shrugged.
I'm not going to do anything about it, I said.
He's young. He's going to college. He's going to have a life. He's my friend, and that's...
Carter snorted.
Yeah, good luck with that, Oxnard. Trust me. When Joe catches wind about this, and he will, you aren't going to stand a chance.
He won't, I said, determined.
And you won't say a goddamn thing.
He grinned at me.
Carter made me go back home and shower, saying that my stench was overwhelming and there was no way I could eat with them smelling like I did. I punched him as hard as I could. He just laughed at me. I tried to drag it out as long as I could, thinking of absolutely everything but Joe. The shower lasted 4 minutes. I was dressed and walking back toward the Bennett house 10 minutes later. I could hear them all, including my mother in the backyard. Elizabeth was laughing. Carter was yelling at Kelly. My mother was talking with Mark. Before I could round the corner of the house, I felt a hand on my shoulder. I didn't even need to turn to know who it was, but I did anyway. Joe stood behind me, eyes concerned, fingers trailing down my arm, gripping my elbow lightly. We were standing so close to each other, inches apart. I could feel the heat of him, his knees bumping mine.
Hey, he said.
Hi, I managed to say back.
You okay?
Yeah, I said.
Fine.
Everything's fine.
Uh-huh. Want to try that again?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Ox, he said in that tone of voice that we both knew could get me to do anything he asked of me. And now that I was aware of what exactly that could entail, I could barely breathe. "The wolf," I blurted out.
"What? What wolf?"
I scowled. "The one you gave me." From this close, I could see the faint flush spreading up his neck, but his eyes never left mine.
"What about it?"
I'm... Thank you for it, I guess.
"You're welcome? Why are you... Wait. What did you and Carter talk about?"
Nothing.
"Really? That's what you're going with?"
"Nothing," I insisted.
"You're acting weird."
"You're acting weird."
He rolled his eyes. "The smell thing. The going off with Carter in the woods. Bringing up the wolf out of nowhere. Don't even get me started on walking into the side of the house when we came back from..."
He trailed off, and I knew that expression on his face. I knew what that meant. That was the look he got when his mind started racing into overdrive, putting all the little bits and pieces together. "We should probably go eat," I said hastily. "We don't want to keep everyone waiting. It's very rude."
His eyes widened.
"Well, fuck."
"Ox," he said, a hint of his wolf poking through, eyes flashing. "Anything you'd like to tell me?"
"No," I said quickly. "Absolutely not."
"You sure about that?" he asked, his grip on my elbow tightening.
I just barely managed to pull my arm free. "I'm hungry," I said, voice rough. "We should..."
"Sure," he said. "Let's go."
I blinked. He smiled at me. My heart stuttered a bit. The smile widened. No one commented as we rounded the corner, though I was sure every single one of them aside from my mother had heard the entire conversation. Carter winked at me. Kelly looked rather pleased. Mark smiled his secret smile. Elizabeth watched me fondly. Mom just looked confused. Thomas, though. Thomas looked more at ease than I'd ever seen him before. Joe crowded into my side, sitting down next to me, not leaving any room between us. The meal was an exercise in torture. He leaned in often when talking to me, breath on my neck, whispering in my ear. He touched my arm, my hand, my thigh. He had a straw in his soda. He never used straws. Never. But he had one now, pulled from somewhere, eyelashes fluttering up at me as he sucked, cheeks hollowing. I dropped my fork. It clattered loudly onto my plate.
"Joe," Thomas sighed. "Really?"
"Oops," Joe said. "Sorry." He didn't sound sorry at all. Kelly said, "Oh man, this makes so much more sense now, and is much more gross." "I made pie for dessert," Elizabeth said, coming back to the table. "Whipped cream topping."
I groaned. Joe looked delighted. Even more so when he ran a finger through the cream, licking it from his skin, never taking his eyes off of me. Carter and Kelly had matching looks of disgust and horror on their faces.
"Stop it," I hissed at him.
Joe cocked his head at me before leaning in and saying in a low voice,
"Oh, Ox, I'm just getting started."
Chapter 14. And a bow tie. Anything for you. I should have known he wasn't going to drop this. He let me have 3 days to worry over it, to fret over every little detail of every interaction we ever had. Things made sense now. Jesse, the man I'd slept with, the way he'd disappear from my life for days after them, and Frankie. Frankie had been his attempt at, what, a normal life? Something that wasn't me? I didn't like Frankie, I discovered. At all. 3 days. He let me have 3 days. 3 days of him smiling at me. 3 days of trying to figure out the hidden meaning of every text he sent me. Monday and Tuesday, he was waiting for me on the dirt road as I walked home from work. He said, "Hey, Ox." I blushed, We walked home together, me trying to find the words to say, "This can't happen, and you deserve so much better than me, and you were only 10. How could you do that? You were only 10 years old," but unable to speak them aloud. His hand often brushed mine, and I thought to take it every now and then. The third day, he wasn't on the road. I wanted to feel relieved. Instead, I was disappointed. Until I got home. Mom had had the day off, the first in a long while, so of course she was home when I got there. And so was Joe, sitting at our kitchen table, wearing dress pants, a dress shirt, and a bow tie, which, unbeknownst to me, turned out to be one of my greatest weaknesses. I walked into the kitchen door at the sight of that.
"Huh," Mom said. "Things are starting to make sense now."
I rubbed my sore nose as I scowled at the both of them. "What's going on?"
"Joe asked if he could speak with me," Mom said. "I brought her flowers," Joe blurted out, sounding breathless and nervous. "And he brought me flowers," Mom agreed, tilting her head toward the vase sitting on the table, filled with irises, her favorites. How he'd found that out, I'd never know.
"Why are you bringing her flowers?" I asked.
"Because Mom said it was nice to do and would get her on my good side when I asked her if it'd be okay that I kept you for the rest of my life," Joe explained.
Then his eyes widened.
"Shit, that wasn't supposed to come out like that."
"Oh my God," I said faintly.
"You want to keep him for how long now?"
Mom asked, squinting at Joe.
Joe said. "Crap. This isn't going like I wanted it to. I had everything I needed to say planned out. Hold on."
He reached down and pulled a note card from his pocket. It was rumpled, the corner ripped. He stared down at it, mouth moving silently as he read whatever the hell he'd written on it. A drop of sweat trickled down his forehead. This had to be a dream.
"Joe, maybe we should," I tried.
But he looked up at my mom, a determined set to his jaw.
"Hi, Mrs. Calloway," he said. "These flowers are for you."
I groaned.
"Thank you, Joe," Mom said, lips twitching. "Is what I said 10 minutes ago when you gave them to me, and then sat there staring at me while waiting for Ox to get home."
"Right," he said.
"You're welcome. Speaking of Ox, I've come to talk to you about him."
"You're wearing a bow tie," I said unnecessarily. He glanced over at me.
"Mom said I had to dress up for this."
I heard a low snort of laughter coming through the open window above the sink, and I knew. I stalked over to the window and looked outside. There, sitting spread out on the grass, were the rest of the Bennets. Goddamn fucking werewolves.
"Hello, Ox," Elizabeth said without a hint of shame. "Lovely day, isn't it?"
"I will deal with all of you later," I said. "Ooh," Carter said. "I actually just got chills from that."
"We're just here for support," Kelly said,
"and to laugh at how embarrassing Joe is."
"I heard that," Joe shouted from behind me.
I banged my head on the windowsill.
"Maggie," Joe said. Then, "May I call you Maggie?"
"Sure." My mother sounded like she was enjoying this. The traitor.
"You can call me Maggie."
"Good," Joe said, obviously relieved.
"Do you know Ox over there?"
"I've heard of him," Mom said.
"Okay." Joe glanced down at his card before looking back up at my mother.
"There comes a time in every werewolf's life when he is of age to make certain decisions about his future."
I wondered if I threw something at him, if it'd distract him enough for me to drag him out of the kitchen. I glanced over my shoulder out the window. Carter waved at me, like an asshole.
"My future," Joe said, "is Ox."
Oh, God. That made me ache.
"Is that so?" Mom asked. "How do you figure?" "He's really nice," Joe said seriously. "And smells good. And he makes me happy. And I want to do nothing more than put my mouth on him."
"Ah, well," Thomas said. "We tried."
"He's our little snowflake," Elizabeth told him.
"You want to do what?" I asked Joe incredulously. He winced. I didn't mean to say it like that. He was sweating much more heavily now, as he looked back at my mother. I want to court your son.
What does that mean?
She asked. It means I want to provide for him, to prove my worth, Joe said. And then once he agrees to be mine, I'll mount him and then bite him, and everyone will see that we belong to each other. I was wheezing something awful.
Joe, Elizabeth called in from the window, maybe not talk about that part just yet? Or ever?
Right, Joe said, pulling on his bow tie like it was too tight. Forget I said that part.
I don't know if I can, Mom said, looking between me and Joe.
Mounting, I managed to say. Of all the things you could have gone with, you went with mounting?
I'm nervous, Joe cried. It's not my fault. That was the only thing I could think of.
You have it written down, I hissed at him.
I mean, Mom said, you just threw it out there like it was nothing.
I ignored the sounds of choked laughter coming from behind me.
Okay, Joe said. Let's try this again. Hi, Maggie. How are you? These flowers are for you. I think your son is the greatest thing in the world.
Everyone fell quiet.
Do you? Mom asked.
He nodded.
I do. There's a lot you don't know about me. Things were hard for a while. Sometimes they still are. But Ox, he just... I have nightmares about bad men, about monsters, and he makes them go away.
I tried to swallow past the lump in my throat.
And I've been waiting, Joe said, for him to look at me like I looked at him. And he finally did. He finally did. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure it stays like that, because I want him for always. You're 17, she said. How can you possibly know what you want being so young? I'm a wolf, he said. It's not the same. We're wired differently. And if he says no?
Joe paled.
Then, I guess I will be okay with that. Would you?
He nodded, hands clenched into fists at his side.
Maybe not, but I would respect it, because Ox is my best friend above all else, and I would have him any way I could.
My mother said. Then,
Ox, what do you think?
Everyone held their breath. And I, what, stared, maybe? My skin felt too tight, like it would split. Like it would split and then I'd wake up because it was just a dream. All of it was just a dream. And so I said, why? Because that was the one thing I couldn't quite figure out. The one thing I couldn't get. My daddy was dead, but he'd said I was gonna get shit. And this wasn't shit. This was terrifying. This was opportunity. This was responsibility. And it wasn't shit. It wasn't shit at all.
Why what? Joe asked.
He sounded confused. Why me? Now he scowled.
Why not?
You're going to be Alpha one day. And he'd be a great one.
And?
I looked down at my hands. That's important.
I know.
I'm not.
You're not what?
You know. Anything. Then he was in front of me, and he was pissed. He practically vibrated with it.
Shut up, he said. Just shut up.
I said, Joe. But he cut me off with,
you don't get to say that. You don't get to even think something like that.
You're 17. He was snarling now, and I knew if I looked up at him, his wolf would be fighting through.
So, you think I don't know what I'm doing? You think that because I'm only 17, I don't know what I'm talking about? I haven't been a kid for a very long time, Ox. That was taken away from me the first time he made me scream into the phone so my mom could hear it as he broke my fingers. I haven't been a kid since he ripped it from me and made me into something else. I know what this is. I know what I'm doing. Yes, I'm 17 years old, but I knew the day I met you that I would do anything for you. I would do anything to make you happy, because no one had ever smelled like you did. It was candy canes and pine cones. It was epic and awesome. And it was home. You smelled like my home ox. I'd forgotten what that was like, okay? I'd forgotten that because he took it away from me, and I couldn't find it again until I found you. So don't you sit there and say I'm only 17. My father gave Mom his wolf when he was 17. It's not a matter of age, Ox. It's when you know. My voice was hoarse when I said, but I'm not. Shut up, he cried. You know what? No. You don't get to decide what you're worth because you obviously don't know. You don't get to decide that anymore because you have no fucking idea that you're worth everything. What do you think this is? A joke? A decision I made just for the hell of it? It's not. It's not destiny, Ox. You're not bound by this, not yet. There's a choice. There is always a choice. My wolf chose you. I chose you. And if you don't choose me, then that's your choice. And I will walk out of here knowing you got to choose your own path. But I swear to God, if you choose me, I will make sure that you know the weight of your worth every day for the rest of our lives. Because that's what this is. I am going to be a fucking alpha one day, and there is no one I'd rather have by my side than you. It's you, Ox. For me, it's always been you. So I said, okay, Joe. I looked up at him. His wolf was close to the surface. And he said, okay? I said, okay. Okay. I don't know if I see the things you do. I know. And I don't know if I'll be good enough. I know you will, he said, eyes flashing orange. But I promised you. I said it will always be you and me. His face stuttered a bit, and he said, you did. You promised me. You promised. I said, I'm not much. I don't have a lot. Sometimes I feel dumb, and I say stupid things. My dad left, and I make mistakes all the time. I didn't go to college, and I come home with grease under my fingernails and on my pants. I don't have many friends. But I made a promise to you. And even though I wish you'd find someone better, I keep my promises. So yeah, Joe, okay? Just, yeah. I must not have been a man yet, because my eyes burned a bit. Mom was crying at the table, and I could hear Elizabeth sniffling outside the window. But there was Joe in front of me. He was the little boy who had found me on the dirt road the day I turned 16. The little boy who had become a man and stood before me a few days before I turned 23. He thought I was worth something. I wanted to believe him. So he pressed his forehead against mine and breathed me in. And there was that sun, okay? That sun between us. That bond that burned and burned and burned because he'd given it to me. Because he'd chosen me. And I got to choose him back. Chapter 15. What Life Is. I Need You. So mates were a thing. And I learned that I still didn't know jack shit about werewolves. I said, I feel like this is something I should have been told. Thomas looked at me as we walked through the trees. Is it? Yes. Elizabeth is your mate. For lack of a better word, yes, we can call it that. But she is so much more to me. How did you know? He laughed. Because every time I saw her, I wanted nothing more than to make sure she never left my sight again. I understood that. Completely. You knew, I said. About Joe and me? Yes. That's why... I stopped. He waited. When you train him, you bring me out. Yes. Because of what I am. To him. Yes. Mate. If you want to call it that. It's very romanticized, but
I suppose that's as close as we'll get.
What am I?
He looked surprised.
Your ox.
And I said, to him, what is Elizabeth to you?
Layers, he said with a chuckle. So many layers.
She is mine, and I would do anything for her. She makes me stronger because of that. And Alpha needs it more than any other. I wouldn't be without her.
And that's what I'll be to Joe.
Maybe, he said. Or more. You're different, Ox. I don't think even I know how different. It will be truly a sight to behold. And I, for one, can't wait to see it.
See what?
You're everything, he said.
The sun disappeared behind a cloud overhead.
Why did you let him?
Let him?
Give me his wolf.
Because he chose to.
I frowned. You could have stopped him.
I suppose.
Carter said you tried to.
Because we didn't know you.
But you let him anyway. Why?
Thomas touched my shoulder.
Because Joe, of all people, should have been allowed to make a choice. After all he'd been through, and for the first time since we'd gotten him back, he had a choice. He chose to speak to you. He chose to bring you back to the house. He chose to hold your hand. That's what life is, Ox. Choices. The choices we make shape what we'll become. For a long time, Joe's choices were taken from him. And then, they were ruled by fear. But you came along, and he made his own choice. So yes, I could have stopped him. I could have told him to wait. I could have told him no. But I didn't, because he chose. He chose you, Ox.
Who was it?
Thomas looked away.
I said, I need to know.
Why?
Because if I'm choosing this, I'm choosing all of it.
His name was Richard Collins. He'd been an Alpha until it had been stripped from him. He'd raped and murdered members of his own pack, fed humans to the more feral of them. He was a monster and he did not care. They tore the Alpha from his body, but he escaped before they could do anything more. Thomas and Richard had been friends when they were children. Here, in this territory, they were pack, and they loved each other very much, as brothers. Human hunters had come one day. Thomas and his father had been away. They tortured Richard's mother and father in front of him. Many others, too. Flesh charred, and the air filled with ash. Much of the Bennett pack was gone. Richard had gone away then. No one knew how he'd become an Alpha. Magic, maybe. Murder. Sacrifice. He was cruel, and he took life and hope away until he was caught. But then he slipped through their grasp. Thomas had been asked to come back east and help the other packs find him, to stop him. They searched for years and years and years, moving all over the country. Thomas hadn't thought there was any hope for his old friend, but he didn't allow that to stop him. They were in Maine when he got the call. Joe was gone, taken from the front yard in their little house by the sea. They couldn't find him, couldn't track him. The scent was gone, like it had never been there before. They looked for 3 days. On the third day, the phone rang. Richard said